And then they come up to Jesus and they make something, and Jesus sort of puts them in their place. You imagine the Pharaoh, the Simon or Peter would just be sort of like, good on, Jesus, well done, thank you very much. You know, there's that little bit of smugness. Maybe, I could be wrong, but that's just the way my imagination works. The transfiguration, and of course, the walking on the water. I mean, he's the only one who had a go. I mean, Peter, he sunk, but he had a go. Fantastic. But then there's the denial. In Luke 22, 54 to 62, I won't read it all. But Jesus has said to him, "You will deny me three times." And Peter is saying, no, not me. I would die with you and all this. And on verse 60, Luke 22, verse 60, after he's disowned Jesus a couple of times already, Peter replied to the person who was asking, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Can you imagine the absolute, utter disappointment and despair that he just knew that he just wasn't up to the job? I just can't do it. You call me Simon, or you call me Peter because you think I'm a rock and you're going to build your church on the rock. And yet, when I was called to account, just to say, I failed you three times. No wonder he wept bitterly. Just that sense of failure. And if we turn to John 21, don't blame him. Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Bit of a theme going on here with miraculous catch of fish and Peter. Maybe there's something going on there. John 21, verse 1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana, in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and the two other disciples were together. And Peter says, "I'm going out to fish." So they said, "We'll go with you." So they got into the boat and caught nothing all night. There's that sense, isn't there? I failed. I might as well go back. I might as well go back to what I used to do. I might as well go back and be a fisherman. I might as well just... I tried, but I failed. It's not the end of the story, though, is it? Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you got any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." That, you think that would be a clue, you know, considering that's what happened last time. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Maybe, just maybe, you know, the call of Peter in Luke 5 is calling him with a huge catch of fish. And he says, "From now on, you're going to be called, you're going to become a fisher of men." And maybe that large catch of fish is saying to him, "I haven't forgotten my promise to you. You are Peter, and you are called Peter the Rock, because on this rock, the church is going to be founded." And so in that sense, he then gives him that large catch of fish, which again, maybe is prophetic to the fact that he's going to bring in lots of people into the kingdom, that my promise has not failed you. Even though you have failed, it doesn't matter. It's still there. And I love you. And I want to reinstate you. And of course, I could read on a little bit further on in John 21, 15 onwards, because Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? And he says, yes, Lord. He says, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. He says it three times. There's lots of debate whether it was three times because he denied him three times. But anyway, regardless, or whatever the debate is, Jesus reinstated him. Jesus, although he was calling him Simon, he really lived up to the name of Peter, and the church was built on that confession of Christ in all that Peter was. You know, Jesus hadn't finished with Peter, and Jesus hasn't finished with us yet. And you know what? I'm just so relieved. I'm just going to grab some water. Because it doesn't matter how far we've fallen, how off the road we've gone, Jesus can still reach us. And I am going to read just this couple of verses from... I read this many years ago, and it just kind of reminded me of this from Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. It doesn't matter how far we've fallen. It doesn't matter how dirty we've slipped into the mire or how far around we've gone the U-bend. God's hand can still reach down and say, you are my son and I love you. And I'm going to place you on a firm place. I'm going to place you on the rock because you are my son. I'm willing to forgive. I'm wanting to forgive. In fact, I'm not even willing or wanting. I've done it already. All you've got to do is just living it. You've got to believe it. He still loves us. And he has a plan for us. Disappointment or failure, the message is pretty much the same. Get up. Come on. Come on. We can do this. It doesn't matter if you failed. We can do this. Come on. I was reminded of a video I saw a couple of years ago. I might even have shown it here, actually. But it's brilliant. I mean, it just brought a little tear to my eye when I watched it again yesterday. Only less than a minute long. But it's to do with a young lad. A young lad called Bailey Matthews. I think he's got cerebral palsy and he's just finishing his triathlon. He even made it onto national news. And you can hear the voice of his mother shouting in the background. And the amazing thing in the story there is that dad is just on hand but allowing his son to do what he's got to do. We'll just watch Bailey Matthews. Get up. You fall down. Get back up. Amazing, isn't it, really? Oh, just, you know, just imagine being there, seeing it. Oh, wouldn't it bring a tear to your eye? Just, I mean, no wonder he got the applause that he did. Last verse. Hebrews 12:1-3 says this. Remember, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We're going to sing again, but before we do, let's just pray. Father, we do want to thank you that you are the God who is willing to forgive us. You're the God who is so willing to come and stand beside us, to encourage us to stand up, to encourage us to get up when we've been knocked down. And whatever life set of circumstances that we're facing, Father, we're asking that you will help us to remember that, Jesus, that you go before us, that you go with us, and that you encourage us to get back up and to get on with the race that you've called us to walk in, or even run in Jesus' name. Amen.